That wasn't a quest. And there's also that a temple filled with gold.
Wow.
I told you about that.
Gotta find that.
I need to go there.
Yep.
Well met, adventurers. My name is Lee.
I'm Joe, and welcome to Mage Productions.
For this week, we have two special guests with us. Kind of special guests.
one kind of special guest and one really special guest.
One kind of, one very, yes. Thank you for specifying. We have Brad, who's been on with us a few times, and we have his son, Logan. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Good. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming
Always
on.
Glad to have you on, Brad, and super excited to have Logan on, too.
Yeah. And Logan was on with us when we first started the podcast.
Like way back in the day.
Way back in the day. That was over a year ago.
It was.
Really? It's good stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really. Right? It seems like only yesterday. All right. So today we're going to talk about Wizards of the Coast's new product, the Essentials Kit, right? That's what it's called, the Essentials Kit.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Sweet. And the adventure of it is Dragon of Ice Spike Peak.
No, Ice Spire.
Ice Spire? Yes.
Nice. Cool. My bad. So why don't you guys tell us a little bit about what the Essentials Kit is and what the adventure is?
Yeah, well, we picked it up. First of all, you can only buy it at Target right now. So I looked around several Targets and finally found one in stock. And I thought it would be a good chance for Logan and I to play an adventure together where he learns to be the dungeon master for me as the player.
I've done that before.
Yes, he's been the dungeon master before for his friends, but he's never been the dungeon master for just me as an adult.
That's true.
So we picked up the kit.
Awesome.
And it comes with it's like a starter kit, basically, like the original starter kit. In fact, the adventure takes place around the same town of Phandalin. But I can't speak a lot to the adventure because I haven't read it yet. I've only let my dungeon master read the adventure. So Logan, tell us a little bit about the adventure setting and what that's like.
So the goal is to complete multiple quests over time and eventually find and defeat the White Dragon.
The White Dragon? That's amazing. How cool.
Yeah, it's been great. Basically, as a player, I'm at, I think I just leveled up to level 3 after 5 or 6 sessions now. And basically, I've just been on a bunch of fetch quests, which has been great for people who are new to the game to kind of learn mechanics and learn, you know, how to play Dungeons & Dragons by going on these small little quests and coming back to town to get rewards. And it's been a great way to learn about the area and the setting of the Sword Coast itself and pick up some experience points and gold along the way. But my favorite part, I think, so far is the fact that I can play it solo with just one dungeon master because of the new rule of having sidekicks.
I was just about to ask. It sounds like you are playing that as a solo player. And I was going to ask how that has been, and have there been any challenges with the adventure, only having one adventurer trying to go up against a dragon?
Yeah, so I haven't faced the dragon yet, thankfully. I've seen the effects of the dragon. I hear a lot of rumors of dragon activity in the area, but I haven't faced the dragon one-on-one yet. And I am worried about it when it comes, but so far, the challenges on the quests I've had have been pretty balanced with the new sidekick rule, surprisingly. So the sidekick rule basically allows me to have a second character with limited abilities, limited class choices, and they basically come with what boils down to being a monster stat block and certain roles. And I chose, since my character is a wizard, I chose to have a warrior as a sidekick. And the base mechanic of it is a neat way that Dungeons & Dragons Wizards chose to balance the game is I can choose whether my warrior is going to attack or defend, basically, on their turn. Hmm. And the neat mechanic is if they defend, it imposes disadvantage on anyone within 5 feet of my sidekick that doesn't attack the sidekick, which would mean attacking me. So if an enemy attacks me, but it was within 5 feet of the sidekick, the enemy has a disadvantage.
Nice. And that
shockingly balances the game way more than I expected.
That's
the
really
simple
cool.
disadvantage mechanic.
As a dungeon master, I think it's hard to decide whether to have the monsters attack you or your sidekick. Because there's never multiple monsters yet.
Yeah, so that's been interesting. Sometimes the monster chooses to attack me, but with disadvantage. And then as a dungeon master, he may be frustrated. And so I notice the next round, he attacks my sidekick.
I was going to ask, from like a DM's perspective, Logan, what do you think about having these sidekicks in the game, like in combat and such?
I think it's basically giving your character double the level they're at.
Wow.
That's a really interesting perspective of it. And what about like for situations outside of combat? Where do these, I guess, how do these sidekicks, as they're called, how do they come into play? Or do they even come into play? Or are they just kind of in the background hanging out?
They do. One time, the sidekick had a conversation of her own and found out useful information.
Yeah, so the rules, as they write the sidekick rules, they allow the player or the DMs, and it's choice per table, who gets to play the sidekick. And so we chose me as the player to control the sidekick. So I do get to role play out of combat scenes as well with my sidekick warrior.
The sidekick also has to make ability checks with you. And there's the special help rule.
Yeah, so he treats it just like it's a normal PC in the party. Basically, it's a party of two where I get to control them both, but with limited, like they don't have all of the abilities of a fighter and they don't have all of the full character capabilities, but they do level up. They level up as my character levels up.
Nice. That's pretty cool. And are all those stats already done up and in the kit with it, or is there something you have to do, like go through and physically level up your sidekick also?
Nope, that's already preset. What happens at each level, the amount of hit points that's gained, the special ability based on which role they are. In my case, it's a warrior, so like it's second level. They may get second wind, which a normal fighter would get, but that's it. There's no other abilities happening. And it's preset, and it's in the appendix of the Essentials kit. It's kind of mapped out how it goes. Which I like as a player because, I'd be trying to min-max or optimize, but instead of just, it is as it's written and just take as what comes, which makes it simple.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So from a totally different point of view, say you had four people coming into play that have never played D&D before or anything like that. Could you like hand them these sidekick cards and be like, here's your PC, go for it?
You could actually let them begin their first time ever playing as just the sidekick, and I think that would be a great way for first timers who are new to the game to follow an experienced player like one of you guys here and just be their sidekick. And the Essentials kit comes with, I think it's 9, it may be 12, I don't remember counting them all, like pre-printed with a portrait on the front and a name, a race, and the sidekick class, and then also all of the personality, ideals, traits, bonds, flaws, and stuff on the back of the card.
Wow.
So it's kind of like a pre-gen character, but it's like a wallet card size, so it's really easy to just pick up. Here's your guy, go for it.
But there's only three types of sidekicks.
It's a good point. Tell them about those three.
That was actually my next question. Are all the classes in there, or have they limited that down?
There's only a warrior, a spellcaster, and a master.
Yeah, it's like an expert, I think it is. It's like a skills monkey, basically. So it could be like play the role of the bard or a rogue or something.
Right. So they're not like straight classes. They're kind of a subset.
Correct. Class. They're like a condensed version of a curation of classes, basically.
Cool. That's fun.
So you've kind of got the one that takes like your jack of all trades, your bard or rogue, your warrior. So you get in like your fighter, your paladin, your barbarian, or
and then
depending
a spell
on domain
caster.
Cleric or your caster, which is going to cover your wizard, sorcerer, and warlock.
Yeah, your caster, you actually get to choose whether you're a healer or a mage type.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun. I like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's really nice and simple. I mean, it just shows up in the appendix of the Essentials Kit, but I think it's one of the best additions to the game I've seen since 5th edition came out. Because it's pickup.
That's a bold statement.
It's quick and easy. Yeah, it is a bold statement. But I'm a mechanics junkie, and I love like simple mechanics that actually make the game better. And this is as simple as you can get it that definitely makes playing better.
Yeah.
So have you found any downfalls with the sidekick so far? Anything that has been annoying or that you didn't like, both from the player and the DM perspective?
I think it's annoying to have to look through all the cards to find magic items and quests to give him.
Oh, you're talking about the kit itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the kit doesn't come with just a stack of cards of sidekicks, but it comes with magic items and a stack of quests. So a lot of player handouts that the dungeon master gets to pick from. So he's annoyed at all of the stuff to keep up with on the other side of the screen, which I don't see.
Dang it, you've given me too many options.
You're right. Which I love. I mean, I love all of that from a starter kit standpoint. It's nice to, you know, add that immersion of handouts and stuff instead of just saying, hey, you get a magic item. You actually get handed
for like
the item.
A new DM.
Right. I agree. But it is a lot for an 11-year-old DM to keep up with all the stuff on the other side.
Well, sure. So, all right. So there's cards for every item. There's cards for every quest.
Correct.
And then cards for every sidekick.
And there are condition cards included.
What?
And then special combat cards.
Special combat cards?
Yeah, like order of play, like a cheat sheet for players, what to do in combat.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah. Hey, we have one of those.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot
MageProductions.com.
It's a lot of that stuff pre-printed. You just kind of, fold and punch out.
Yeah. That's really handy, though. Mm-hmm. I like that. And I like that all the magic items are printed out there. I think that was my biggest, when I first started running.
Lost Mines.
Lost Mines. Yes. Thank you, Joe. Yeah. When I first started running Lost Mines, I mean, I had no idea what I was doing. And there's all these magic items that are coming up. And I'm like, here's a name of an item. I don't know what that means.
Right. And then it's a bunch of page flipping and figuring out and trying to write it down.
Yeah.
Hands it across the screen. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you also have to keep up with that from a GM's perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like having the map. It's easy to show him where he's going when he's on a quest.
They've got a beautiful full-color front and back printed map that comes with the adventure. On one side is the town of Phandalin in detail, and the other it's like a region snapshot of the Sword Coast.
And it even includes Icespire Peak.
Yep.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
I've been questing all over that side of the map so far.
You've never gone to the top, though.
Not yet.
Well, that's where the dragon's at, right? So you got to stay away from there.
I'm currently in the Neverwinter Wood.
No, the dragon's at the bottom mountain range.
Oh, spoiler.
Spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler, I got it out.
Well, there's a label. It says Icespire Peak.
Yes, it does.
That's fair. That is
kind of a giveaway.
So I read a little bit of the adventure up on D&D Beyond, and I don't have like the physical essentials copy, so I couldn't look at it. But the way that the adventure looks like it's written is pretty much there's a questing board, like a job board. And you go up to that job board and you have quests that you can go pick and choose from. And I'm guessing, based on what you were talking about earlier, Logan, is that all these quests are written down on cards. So how does that work?
I like how the quests are all like all tied together. And in the end, they're all leading up to something to do with the dragon or some other emissary.
Cool.
Yeah, so I've been going to the basically the town hall in Phandalin and reading the job board every mm-hmm. time I return to town, and he's just kind of been, I don't know if he's following what's written or if he's just making it up and handing me, you know, a few quests to choose from. What are you doing on that side of the screen?
Oh, there's rules on what quests come out at what time.
Okay.
Cool. So how does that work?
So every time he completes three more quests come out.
Hmm. Ooh, that's neat. So then you could have like a backlog of quests and you can go back and kind of choose things that you've passed over.
Yeah, and that's what I've been doing. I'll go get one done, come back and, you know, pick one of the remaining, and then sometimes new ones show up. So I may skip one of the old ones I hadn't done yet and pick a new one.
That's really neat.
What did you skip? Mountain Toad Quest?
Yeah, I don't remember the ones I skipped.
That's it.
But I'm currently in Neverwinter Wood.
And there's also special things that aren't quests. You learn them at the inn, like about Falcon's Lodge in the forest.
That's where I'm at right now, mm-hmm. right? The mm-hmm. Ranger's Lodge? Yeah.
That wasn't a quest. And there's also a temple filled with gold.
Wow.
I told you about that.
Gotta find that.
I need to go there.
Yep.
I got to use a temple cool. filled with gold.
So, Brad, from a player's perspective, I mean, you've played in a few games before.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel? Just a few.
One or two.
How do you feel about the aspect of your quest being almost literally handed to you that you can then pick and choose from?
Yeah, I like it because I'll literally hold, you know, two or three in my hand and I just read through. It's like, you know, that sounds like something my character would be interested in right now. So let's go do it. I like having that choice. And, you know, I know it's a little railroady when you like, you know, you feel like you got to go do one of these quests. But when you're handed multiple at the same time, I feel like the choice is given back to the player.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone have been very unique and different. And I'm like, you know, it's, do I want to go to a farm or do I want to go into a cave? Do I want to go explore a forest or some old windmill? That's been really unique settings, which I think really brings mm-hmm. the world alive. And the characters we encounter have been unique as well.
Like the boars.
Like the boars, yeah, that's one of the craziest boars. Orc experiences I've ever had in D&D is in this adventure.
Oh, do tell.
So tell them about those crazy
orcs. We need to
orcs.
Plug in a quick campaign story.
Yeah.
So there's half orcs, and they can shapeshift into boars, and they worship a boar god.
What?
Hang on.
Wait. So there's shape-shifting half-orcs.
They can only turn into boars.
Only. Okay.
I mean, that's one more animal that I can turn into.
True. True. So what are these orcs doing?
They're trying to carry out the will of their storm god.
Yeah, I came across these boars in the forest, and I was like, I don't want anything to do with them. And then I came across orcs. And then I came across these half-orcs that turned into the boars, and I was like, I couldn't avoid them. They're everywhere in the forest. And so I said, all right, I'm finally going to do my encounter one. I was really, because, you know, as a solo player, I'm pretty cautious right now. Like, I feel like everything is dangerous, like just me and my sidekick out here. And I finally came across one. I was like, you know, all right, we were well rested. I had a few magic items. So like, let's do this. Let's fight it. Oh my goodness, I almost died 3-4 different times.
And there's only one of them.
And there was only one of them. I can't imagine encountering two of these things. They're the strongest orc I've ever encountered.
They only have like 50 health.
Only 50, whatever.
Only. I mean,
shape-changing orc with 50 hit points.
And
that's
they
crazy.
They can cast magical spells.
Yeah. Ooh. Like,
what?
That's
like innate.
That's pretty tough for a level 1 to 3 character.
Was kicking our butts.
I think you bring up a very interesting point, Brad, about how you're very cautious as a solo player. Mm-hmm. And I mean, because I've only ever played in groups of like 2 or 3, maybe minimum. Mm-hmm. And I can't even. Like, from a player's perspective, what is it like knowing that you're the only one at the table? I mean, you have your sidekick with you, but...
Yeah, it's a cool experience from a player standpoint because, I don't want to say it's more immersive, but the world feels riskier because every decision you make could end in death is what it feels like because I'm so squishy at, you know, under third level. And I know, and you know, it's some of the logic that, and knowledge that comes with just playing a lot that this game was built for a party of 4, basically, or more. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing it with 1.5, basically. So it's intimidating, but it makes it feel more alive in many ways. And you're like, okay, I've got to really think about my decision here. And I am always leaving a way to get out. Is that not just storm in and, you know, kill them all? It's like, all right, I'll sneak in and leave the door open behind me in case I need
You've
to
never
run out.
Said that before.
No, but I think that all the time.
But I never say that I close the door.
There was one time
exactly
where you got trapped in the mine with the orc army.
That was literally, I thought I was going to die there.
Wow.
I figured that was the end.
Well, there was 50 dwarfs on your side.
Yeah, but just me and 100 orcs coming after them.
Hmm.
Wow.
Them's
that's
some rough
intense.
Odds.
No kidding. So to turn that around on you, Logan, from a Dungeon Master's perspective, what is it like knowing that there's only one player at the table?
I think it restricts sending certain creatures.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Gotta nerf things a little bit to not TPK right out the gate.
Yeah, well, I was wondering about that too. Like, the Essentials Kit is built, like, the story is built to be able to play as a solo character with a sidekick. So, Logan, do you feel like you have to kind of tone down some of these combats or tone down some of these situations so that, you know, you don't kill your dad?
Well, some of them say they're meant for certain levels and they'll be a challenge for other levels and not. So I normally do that, but he still seems to always die.
This is true. As his dungeon master, this is
That's
true.
Pretty accurate. Yeah, so thankfully, we've made a couple of friends, we've picked up some healing potions, and my sidekick knows how to administer them.
So, on the other side of that, say you had a group of 4 PCs that are going around, do each of them get to have a sidekick? Could you technically have 8 characters running through this?
You could, but there's no rules against it, as written. But I think it depends on the group, and I would just, you know, make that decision per table. It could be really helpful for a group of 4 beginners. Mm-hmm. It could be really overpowered if our regular gaming group did it.
Yeah. All right, I'll take the fighter, and then you take the healer caster, exactly. And you take the mage caster, and then you take the jack of all trades, and let's get right. this.
So it's like anything right? in D&D. It can be awesome or it can be abused. It just depends on how you use it.
Table management at that point.
Right.
So I guess final thoughts, feelings on the Essentials Kit?
I like it a lot. I like all it comes with. I just think it's a little too cluttery of the cards.
Fair. I enjoy it. I'd say it's better than the original starter kit.
Definitely.
And if I was going to recommend, you know, a box to get started, this would be it.
You can play with everything that's in this without having anything else. It even comes with its own set of dice.
Yep, and a Dungeon Master screen. I think it is a very well put together starter kit.
It also comes with player sheets.
Yep.
Nice.
That's awesome.
It sounds like it is a very, very versatile setup if it can accommodate from like 2 to 10 just about. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. I like that.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, we got started playing and, you know, there's enough of the base rules from a like a PHP standpoint to, you know, not need the full books to get started. I don't even know that he uses a monster manual as a dungeon master, do you?
I have one in case, but I don't.
Yeah, he's got monsters on his side as well in the campaign.
That's really nice. Cool. From a seasoned player's perspective, do you feel like the Essentials Kit is a good adventure to play, fun adventure to play, and something that, like, maybe for a collector would be good to pick up?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If you're a collector at all, you need to pick this up. It's a great box set.
It's also fun to be the dungeon master and see what quests they'll pick and what will end up with them in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a fun adventure. It feels very much like Dungeons and Dragons. They don't try to, you know, sneak it around or pull any punches. Like, it's like, here's D&D and here you're going to fight a dragon. Like, I think that's pretty cool.
Very nice.
Very cool. So, Logan, do you think your dad's going to defeat the dragon?
Not anytime soon.
No faith.
Maybe if he was a fighter, but like a wizard, he has like no hit points.
I'm very squishy wizard.
I can't believe he only had like 8 hit points at first.
Yeah, it seems like forever.
Brutal.
And your falcon only has 1 hit point.
I know. That's what a familiar is.
Awesome. Well, thank you both so much for taking the time to talk with us about the Essentials Kit, the new starter set from Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah, thanks for having us, guys.
Anytime.
Yeah.
If you would like to interact with us, you can find us on Twitter at @mage_podcast or check out our website, mageproductions.com.
Or if you just want to tell other people how much you love the show and that they should listen, you can leave us a 5-star review. Go and review us wherever you get your podcast from. We really love to see those and read what you think.
And we would like to give a huge shout out to our partners and sponsors. First off, Hit Dice. Check them out at hitdicepod.com and on Twitter at hitdicepod. And of course, last but not least, sonerdwear.com, a place to find fun clothing and accessories tailored for tabletop geeks and nerds everywhere. They're also on Twitter at sonerdwear. They've really stepped up the entire game for us. They now host all of our swag, so you can get t-shirts, stickers, mugs, cups. So you can go to sonerdwear.com and search for Mage Productions to find all of our cool swag. And then once you find everything, you can use code MAGE to get 10% off your entire order. Anything else?
I don't know. I think we actually got it all that time.
It helps when you write things down.
It does.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome.